This is According to Jim with Jim Joyner, McPherson's sports talk show.
Bullpups win! Bullpups win! Bullpups win it!
Listen every day, Monday through Friday, from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com. According to Jim is your source for Chiefs talk.
10-5, touchdown, Kansas City, a 106-yard kickoff return right out of the gate.
The Royals.
Swinging a ground ball to third is fair. Fair ball up the left field line. Here's Cologne, and the Royals win it.
College football and college basketball.
8 to shoot, Hall, the runner.
And everything else that's going on in the sports world.
Inside corner, the Royals, 2015 World Champions.
Now it's time for According to Jim. Here's your host, Jim Joyner.
Let's do this thing. According to Jim on 96.7 FM, KBBE, you know what time it is, 12:30 to 1, Monday through Friday. That's where you can always find us. Listen to us online anywhere in the world at midkansasonline.com, whether you're walking down the streets of Paris or just walking down the streets of Lindsborg. And you can find our podcast every day on soundcloud.com/KBBE Sports. Jim Joyner, and of course, I'm joined by the most popular man in McPherson, Steve Sell. Steve, this is a fun day for us. It is a football preview Thursday.
Oh, yeah. Gotta love it. And why this is so important this week, it's the second season.
Mm-hmm.
And the second season is the district season. Now, some of the smaller classes already have started their district play, but for McPherson, Smoky, Heston, the second season starts, and we hope it's as good as the first season.
Well, if it's been as good as it's been for the Bullpups so far in the first season, well, then they have a good chance to make a little run here. And if the second season is as good as it went last year when they went 3-0 against the same three teams, well, they might be looking at another district championship.
And the Bullpups kind of dominated in those three games last year. And given the fact that two of the teams are 2-4, and one of them is 3-3. I'd say the Bullpups are a prohibitive favorite going into the district play.
And whenever we were talking with Coach Pav at the beginning of the season and looking at this district and trying to figure out who's going to be the best team, I think that the first name that stands out to you on this schedule is Abilene, because you know, they've been a power for the last few years, and they have really struggled this year, and they will come into this game really struggling at 2-4. And he has mentioned to me a couple of times that, and you see it sometimes, especially with high school sports, that every now and then, not only will a rough class of athletes come through, but just a not as mentally tough class will come through. And that's not exactly the words that he's used, but he has said they haven't quite given up, but they're close.
Well, Abilene has generally been 6-0 entering the district. They've had some great teams, and I think I've mentioned a few times, you know, they've had Ryan Wilson, Harley Hazlett. They've always had that great quarterback. They don't have that great quarterback this year, and plus their defense has just struggled mightily. I think they've given up 40 points in several of their games this year, and they have really just been very un-Abilene-like, if you want to say it that way.
So on today's show, we will preview the Bullpups matchup against Hayes tomorrow night, as well as talk about some of the other area teams. We'll also kind of refresh your memory on the way that district works, because it is a bit confusing, especially for people that aren't always 100% dialed into high school football. And then we're going to play a game in our final segment. The game is called Are You Serious? And where we're going to give some hot takes. Steve has decided that he wants to not be Steve Sell anymore and be Stephen A. Smith.
Oh.
So he's going to give some hot takes on here and really lay some bold predictions out on the line. I've got a couple prepared. But we're going to have a fun weekend. And it starts tomorrow night. Well, it actually starts tonight with Bullpup Soccer taking on Valley Center at 5:30. We will have that game right here on 96.7 FM, KBBE. But the real fun for football starts on Friday night against Hayes. We'll be making the trip over there. I'm looking forward to a trip and Coach Pav has recommended that we eat a burger from Q's.
Okay. Well, Coach Pav, of course, played at Fort Hays, was a team captain. He always looks forward to when we go out to Hays. And it's never easy to make that long bus trip. You know, kids are kids. You're driving almost 140 miles. Granted, it's 140 miles of desert because you basically
see. It's a real exciting
drive. Yeah, you don't go through a single town. You know, you get off on, you take I-35 to I-70. You take I-70 to Hays. You don't go through any towns. So it really is kind of a desolate excursion. But sometimes it takes just a little while for the team to kind of loosen up and get ready to play. We've had some tough games out at Hays in the past. Won out there 2 years ago in the last minute. To secure a winning season, and that was Coach Pav's first year. So anyway, looking forward to the trip at Hays, and always like calling games there because it's like we're in a luxury suite. You know, it's a big-time college stadium. The only bad thing is there could be 3,000 people there, and it looks like there's nobody there because it seats about 5,000 people. And when we look across the sideline at the bull, we'll see the bullpup fans straight across from us. It's going to look like a little spot because for one thing, we won't have a lot of people out there. We kind of know that. Moms, dads, girlfriends, that's about it because it's the long trip. And so we'll have a lot of listeners definitely tomorrow night.
Hey, we joke about it all the time. Sit around the fire, pull up a blanket, a little cup of tea, some hot coffee, and listen to Jim and Steve.
There you go.
I don't think there's
anything better than
that. And if you want to talk about romantic, when it comes to maybe like a first date, if you're on the fence about what to do this weekend, either record the game and you can play it on Saturday or Sunday and cuddle around the campfire, or just Friday night, grab your girlfriend, sit around the fire and listen to us. I mean, we're pretty romantic.
Well,
I don't know about you, Steve, but I think we have a very, very soothing voice, and this is first date material.
Oh, okay. I think we're deteriorating, so let's get back to the topic.
So when it comes to this bullpup defense, one thing to me that has stood out that's been very strong has been the way that they've been able to play on third downs. Do you want to take a guess at what their third down defense percentage is?
I'm guessing the opponent converts about 20% of the time.
You are wrong. It's 17%, and that's a really low number. And
wrong again.
Yeah, typical for Steve. Well, I talked with Coach Pav about that this morning, and this is what he had to say about his team's third down defense.
You know, you talk about first and second as a lead-in to third down, and when you get teams in third and long because you're winning first and second down, that really puts them behind the eight ball. And, you know, Coach Harlan does a good job of mixing up play calls, defenses, coverages, and our guys do a great job of disguising coverage and rolling late. So we have the ability to give a ton of different looks and to play fast to boot, and that really makes it tough for an offense.
But it makes it really tough on anybody to try and move on this bullpup defense. But when you're not converting on third downs, and especially when you stay backed up deep in your own territory, I mean, there's no hope whenever you get down 21, 28, nothing, and you can't move the ball, especially on third down. And probably a good chunk of that 17% has come against the second team.
And you're right. And doing the research on Hays, they really struggle to throw the ball.
Yeah.
And
like 30 yards a game.
And as good as McPherson's defense is, it's really been good against the run. I don't have my season stats in front of me, but teams just aren't running the ball on the bullpups. There's been a couple games where the teams barely had positive yardage. So if Hays has to, you know, throw the ball, that bullpup defense is going to tee off.
Do you want to take a guess at the amount of rushing yards per game the bullpup defense is allowing?
I would say about 40.
You're wrong again.
Well,
it's 30.
Okay.
Which is incredibly low.
Yeah, and remember
30 a game.
Yeah, remember Bueller and May South both were probably over 150, I would think, apiece. So that is really the last four games, this bullpup defense, the starters have not permitted a touchdown the last four games. In fact, bullpups are working on, what, three straight shutouts, if I recall.
So a shutout against Rose Hill. Unfortunately, they did give up a touchdown against Circle, but again, with the second team, the first team defense hasn't allowed a touchdown since the May South game, and some other numbers when it comes to this defense. So in this four-game winning streak, they are allowing 69 yards per game, which is unbelievably low, and opponents' points per game in the winning streak is 5 points per game for their opponents. And if you don't count anything but the Bueller game, It's 6 points per game in total this year, and including the Buehler game, 8.5 points per game for a defense. And we knew coming into the season that the defense would be really strong, but I don't think I realized it would be this strong and this hard to move on.
And the thing is, they're not very big up front.
No.
Although when they've gone to this odd man front, they're pretty good. But those linebackers are just tremendous. Jace Alexander, Colin Gehring, you know, they kind of set the tone. But, man, I tell you, Stufflebean and Seidel on those ends. And then I like Michael Mendez, the way he just floats around kind of, you know, in the middle. They kind of let him freelance. And, you know, he was the leading tackler last game.
So another thing that we have been seeing from this bullpup defense, and it's about the only criticism that you can have of them, is the last two games against Circle Down in Towanda and then last week against Rose Hill, they started the game off slow defensively. And I think that we knew that Circle could move the ball, and I think we knew that Rose Hill had a quarterback that could move the ball. But both teams marched down the field and started knocking on the door of the end zone. And I talked with Coach Pav about that this morning, and this is what he had to say about the slow starts.
In both drives, both teams did some really good things in the RPO game. And they did some route schemes on the back end of their RPO game that we had not seen before. So once we did settle in and once we did talk about it with the kids on the sidelines, we were able to make a few adjustments, and our kids played lights out from there.
And I think he's exactly right with that, that the only times that this defense has struggled at all in the last four games has been that first drive. And the first drive can make a big impact sometimes because, especially with a team like Rose Hill, if they drive down and score, well, they might have some hope that they can stick around and maybe get a big play to get to go their way. But with Circle, I mean, they knew that they were not going to be able to hold up with 62 points that they put up on the board.
Rose Hill had 6 first downs on its first drive, had the ball over 8 minutes, went from what, the 23 down to the bullpup 10. They did not have a first down the rest of the game and were minus yards. Circle had, I believe, 4 first downs, went about 60 yards. Jace Alexander, of course, coming up with the big pick. They only had like 20 yards the rest of the game. So maybe this bullpup defense just needs one series to get adjusted, and then once they kind of get insulted a little bit by giving up some yards, they really hunker down and get after people.
I will have a Are You Serious take in our final segment that might talk a little bit about that defense and some yards that they might give up. But that's what this matchup will look like with Hayes, a team that is 2-4, and they have played pretty well against a couple of teams. And that's why Coach Pavitt has said it, and it was in your story a little bit, but he's a little bit confused about this team. He doesn't really know what he's going to get from them because they have played games like against Garden City, who a lot of people think as is one of the best teams in 6A, and they only lost 7-3. And so you look at a game like that and go, okay, well, maybe they can stop some people. But then against like a Scott City, they gave up 29 points. Against Valley Center, they gave up 24. The defense is okay for them, but they just don't have enough offense to compete.
Yeah, Coach Pav said their defense will probably be the second or third best defense the Bullpups have faced this year. But again, like you say, only 17 points the last three games. They did beat Liberal and Great Bend, a couple of 5A schools. But, boy, the last three games, when they've gone 0-3, they have really fallen off offensively, just 2 touchdowns and a field goal.
And those wins against Liberal and Great Bend, those are their only 2 wins on the season, but they were in conference play. So coming up after the break, we'll break down this district and give you some of the rules and how it works, because district football in Kansas is a little bit weird, and next year we probably won't have to deal with that as much and see some of that because of the changes, and we'll also talk about that. You're listening to According to Jim on 96.7 FM, KBBE.
You're listening to the According to Jim with Jim Joyner podcast. According to Jim with Jim Joyner was brought to you by Overhead Door Company of North Central Kansas, Meade's Liquor, Great Plains Federal Credit Union, and Four Seasons Realtors. You can also listen live Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
Back in on According to Jim on 96.7 FM, KBBE, Jim Joyner, Steve Sell, always from 12:30 to 1 on Mondays through Fridays, right here on the air. You can listen to us online at midkansasonline.com or find us on podcast on demand at soundcloud.com/KBBE Sports. So that way you can listen to us whenever you want when you're sitting at work a little bit bored and you need to know what's going on with Bullpup football. Well, this is where you turn.
There you go.
So we just previewed the matchup with Hayes for tomorrow night on the road at Hayes to open up district play. And a lot of people that are listening to this might be thinking, well, what in the heck is district play? What do the rules mean? Why is it different? And we refer to it as the second season. And it's a bit confusing. And Steve, I don't know exactly when this system was set up. I mean, you've been around and covering Kansas high school football for 42 years. And so you will know a little bit more of the context with this. But it's a weird system, and we'll go over the rules for it in just a moment. But do you remember when it started?
I want to say in the 80s, middle to late 80s. I know the Bullpups, their first time they ever made it under this format was 88. Then they made it again in 89, then didn't make it again until Tom Young came along in 2006. Now the Bullpups are almost regulars. They've only missed once under the Tom Young, Jace Pavlovich regime. So Coach Pav, the 1 year they didn't make it was the year that they beat – it was 2 years ago when they played Hayes. They had to beat Hayes to have a winning season, but they lost to Abilene and I can't remember the other team offhand.
It would have been Buehler, I think.
Buehler, yeah. Lost to Abilene and Buehler in the district, the best district in the state, and stayed home despite being a really good team. And, in fact, Hayes was a very good team, too, and stayed home that year.
So I'll try and make this as simple as possible. So in 4A Division I, there are 32 teams, and there are 8 four-team districts. There are 4 districts on the east side, so 16 teams, 4 districts on the west side, so another 16 teams. So McPherson is in really the farthest west district. There is also the district that has Ulysses in it, but really the furthest west. So you have McPherson, Wamego, Abilene, and Hayes. So all 4 of those teams will each play each other one time in Week 7, 8, and 9. And essentially, it's who has the best record. So let's say one team goes 3-0, one team goes 2-1, one team 1-2, one team 0-3, which is the perfect scenario. The top 2 teams make it. The district winner will play the district runner-up from District 7, and the district runner-up will play the district winner from District 7. So there's a little bit of a crossing going. Now, where things get a little bit confusing is when there's a tiebreaker. So let's say that there's one team that goes 3-0, and then 2 teams that tie at 2-1 or 1-2, and then another team that's 0-3. So you have 2 teams tying for one spot. Well, that tiebreaker is very simple. It just goes down to head-to-head because all the teams play each other. So if it was McPherson and Abilene that were in a tiebreaker, well, whoever won that game in Week 9 would be the team that breaks the tie. And then where things get really confusing, and this doesn't happen too often, is if there's a 3-way tie.
Right.
And normally the way that works is that there are 3 teams, they all beat each other and all beat the one bad team. Right. So there are 3 teams that are 2-1 and one team that's 0-3. So the way that tiebreaker works, and this is where all these crazy numbers come in, is that it turns to point differential. And the thing that makes it confusing is that they set the limit on point differential at 21. You can only win by 21 points right. or lose by 21 points, even if the score is 185-0. You would only be plus 21, and it used to be plus 13 or minus 13, but they've moved it. So if we get to a 3-way tie, it goes to point differential, and the 2 best teams with the best point differential advance. So even though you would hope for McPherson that they just win all 3 and take all of this out of it, there is always the number in the back of your mind that you want to win by 21, or if you're losing by 21 at the end of the game, it's important that even if you don't win, to not lose by 21. You want to get as much ground as possible. And I know this is confusing, but... and it's really a terrible system that won't be around anymore for 4A next year, but at least they're making strides to get away from this. But if it does happen, the best scenario for McPherson is just to win all three and ignore all the tiebreakers and the head-to-head and the rules. Just go win all three.
Yeah, and why you want to win your district is you get a first-round home game assured. You don't want to go on the road, and the Bullpups would be home again, most likely against the loser of Andale and Buehler.
Most likely.
And you know, I still think Buehler's going to beat Andale, but there's a lot of people telling me that I could be wrong. And, of course, I've been wrong a lot lately. But anyway, it doesn't matter, Andale or Buehler, that would be a great first-round game.
So the Bullpups, when it comes to district play, since they have made the move from 4A or to 4A1, so starting in 2012, they have a 12-3 record, and they won 8 of 9 from 2012 to 2014. And the year that really threw them off was that 2015 season that we mentioned, where they lost to both Abilene and to Buehler. And during district play, whenever they have won by an average of 19 points per game. And part of it is that, at least for the last 2 years, they haven't had a particularly tough district. But in a couple of those years, they were tough. And then you can look at the years of 2013 and 2012, where the district was Smoky Valley, Abilene, and Chapman, which it seems crazy that the Bullpups and Smoky Valley could be in the same district.
And we had the infamous game with Smoky Valley, where we started the game in Lindsberg. The power went out, and everybody packed up. We moved to McPherson Stadium and finished the game at McPherson Stadium.
When was this?
This was about 3 or 4 years ago.
Oh, man. That's I've never heard of anything like that. I'm surprised I didn't read about it on midkansasonline.com. I guess I wasn't as aware of it back then. That is very
well,
funny.
You're probably still in high school.
Well, I would have been close. Yeah, we won't talk about that. But district play for the Bullpups, so they will play at Hayes tomorrow night, Wamego at home next Friday night, and then Abilene at home the Friday after that, which would be the 27th. Am I right there?
I think that's right.
I think that's right. The 27th and the 20th of the two home games. Steve, it's simple. Go win every game, and then you don't have to worry about the point totals.
Exactly, and I just got a feeling that's exactly what the Bullpups are going to do.
And that's what happened last year when McPherson ended up beating all three teams in the district. They beat Hayes 48-14, Wamego 27-0, and Abilene 28-7. So coming up after the break, we will dissect it a little bit more and give you some of our hot takes for tomorrow night's game against Hayes. Steve has got a couple of ones brewing over there, and he's ready to unleash. You're listening to According to Jim on 96.7 FM, KBBE.
You're listening to the According to Jim with Jim Joyner podcast. According to Jim with Jim Joyner was brought to you by Overhead Door Company of North Central Kansas, Mead Liquor, Great Plains Federal Credit Union, and Four Seasons Realtors. You can also listen live Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
Back on According to Jim, final segment of the afternoon on this wonderful Thursday afternoon. We were cold and dreary for the first 2 days of this week. And now with a fun Friday of football coming up tomorrow, the weather's starting to get a little bit better.
Yeah, it's supposed to be almost 80 tomorrow, but maybe a chance of rain coming in tomorrow night, I understand.
Ooh, that would certainly make a difference out west at Hayes as the Bullpups will take on the Indians of Hayes tomorrow night starting at 7 o'clock. You can pick up our pregame coverage starting at 6:30 as Steve and I will make the trip down I-70 across the wonderful landscape of Kansas, the most beautiful parts of it, and check out Fort Hays State. I've never been over there.
Yeah, you'll enjoy it. It's a great, like I say, great place to do a game from. It used to be we were in the visitor side press box, but now they got us over on the Hayes side press box.
Yeah, we get the royal treatment now. So here in our final segment, I want to do something that we can try and do on a lot of weeks as we're previewing these games, is I want to play a little game called Are You Serious?
Are you serious?
Are you serious?
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
You serious, Clark?
Okay, so on Are You Serious, it's supposed to be we're going to say some things that might make you go, are you serious? That's the whole idea of this. And, you know, Cousin Eddie with his, are you serious, Clark? That's one of my favorite ones ever. So my first thing is that I think the Bullpups are going to have a big game passing. And Kyler Hoppus hasn't gone into the 300-yard range yet this year. And I have a feeling that tomorrow is the night that the Bullpups finally pass for 300 yards in a game.
I don't see that happening. Coach Pav has said the passing game could really flourish because they're going to stack the box to stop the run.
I'm thinking they're going to have some more big plays, and that's been something that we've seen from this McPherson team is the big plays. We saw it a bunch against Bueller, a couple big plays against Circle, a couple big plays against Rose Hill, that whenever they're striking from distance, especially against Augusta, they can make teams pay, and they have so many threats to go do it. And I was looking at it, and there are three different receivers on this team that have already had games of 100 or more yards, which not very many other teams I would think would have three different receivers, and several of them have had multiple 100-yard games.
Yeah, and the thing is, those shovel passes that we've been turning to big gains are more like runs, but Kyler Hoppus is probably glad they count his passes because he gets some pretty good passing yards off basically where forward handoffs.
So the other hot take, are you serious take I have, is that they're going to continue the first team defense not allowing a touchdown. I have a feeling about that. I think they're going to allow less than 100 yards of offense, which has been a theme for this defense for the last few games. No touchdowns against the first team defense. Now, when the second team gets in, I can't make predictions. I don't know what's going to happen. But no touchdowns against the first team defense.
Okay, I'm going to say my hot take prediction
here
is
we go.
Hayes plays tough for a half.
Okay.
I think it's either 7-0, 14-7 at the half. Bullpups dominate the second half, win going away. I'm going to say 27-7.
Okay.
Because Coach Pav is kind of, you know, he gives the opponent a lot of respect. And I have been doing some reading on this Hayes defense. Apparently the Hayes defense is pretty good. So I'm going to say Hayes keeps it close for a half, and the Bullpups then win going away.
Okay, so how about some of the other area games that we have going on tomorrow night? Number one, Smoky Valley starts district play as well against Rock Creek. Smoky Valley, the other 5-1 area team, as the Vikings are looking to make another playoff berth.
Oh, you're right, and boy, do they just crunch teams on the ground. They don't throw it very much, but Rock Creek will probably be the toughest team the Vikings face, I think, in their district. Vikings, though, my hot take is they're going to win by at least two touchdowns.
And then Heston and Hillsboro. Heston is, they started off the year fairly hot. Then there was the Smoky Valley game that they lost. And if I remember right, they lost last week. Or did they won last week, but lost two games in a row before that. Hillsboro's 1-5. The Swathers are ready to get going here in district play.
Big win for the Swathers. My hot take is they blow it open early. And win going away. They've got a tough district, though. Southeast of Saline and Marion will be much tougher games. My hot take is this will be Heston's easiest game of its three games in the district.
Now getting into 2-1A, Mound Ridge 2-4 at Sedgwick, who's also 2-4. Mound Ridge trying to keep things rolling here after beating the Teutons last week.
My hot take is on this one, Sedgwick barely. When you do comparative scores, Sedgwick has played, they've got a lot of common opponents. Sedgwick's done better against those common opponents. So Sedgwick, very close.
And then another matchup of teams with the same record, the Teutons of Inman, 0-6, against Remington, who's also 0-6. Steve, is it time for Inman to finally get a win?
Boy, I'd love to say it because, you know, I like Lance Sawyer. But Remington nearly beat Mound Ridge. In fact, it came down to a stop two-point conversion at the end. Inman just, I just don't think they got enough offense. And, Mound Ridge had all sorts of things going right against Inman, beat Inman by like 44-8.
And then the final area game, another big one, as we have Little River and Canton Galva, a couple of teams that this is a huge game in terms of their district and playoff implications.
Yeah, the winner will most likely go on to postseason. The loser will be done after the final district or the final week of the season. Again, I'm a big believer in comparative scores. And Central Plains blew out Canton Galva. Little River was only down 2 in the third quarter to Central Plains. So I like Little River probably by double digits.
All right, another show in the books, Steve. We have previewed what's going to happen tomorrow night. And then tomorrow on our show from 12:30 to 1, We will talk about the other games coming up over the weekend, hit on the Chiefs a little bit as they'll take on the Steelers. We'll hit on some of the college games as I think KU and K-State will both be in action. K-State against TCU and a fun game there. We're going to talk about everything coming up over the weekend and get you ready for a weekend full of sports. So, for Steve Sell, I'm Jim Joyner. Thanks for listening to According to Jim on 96.7 FM KBBE. We'll see you tomorrow to wrap up the week at 12:30.
According to Jim with Jim Joyner was brought to you by Overhead Door Company of North Central Kansas, Meade Liquor, Great Plains Federal Credit Union, and Four Seasons Realtors. Make sure to listen to According to Jim every weekday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. right here on 96.7 FM KBBE.